Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today we're doing a nonprofit spotlight. We do these periodically. There are many needs in our communities. Many are stepping up to help, probably including you. And we want to shine a light on your favorite nonprofit or individual doing good in your community, wherever you are. Amy Anderson, Regional Coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, is joining us for the hour. And we'll hear from representatives from other nonprofits throughout the hour. And we hope to hear from you. So you can reach us right now at upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com, with your email to us. We want to hear from you. So, Amy Anderson, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be here and hear all the good things that are going on, not just in Cache Valley, but around our state.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And we first off, we have with us in studio David Zook. David, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be with you again, Tom.
So, not with the county anymore, what are you representing right now?
Yeah, I keep saying I retired from public service, but maybe just the government side, still okay. Involved in some public things.
Well, that's good.
I'm helping with a project now. When I was county executive, I served on a group here in the Valley called Cache Community Connections. It's our interfaith group. And it's a partnership between local faith leaders and government leaders. And so I served in that role and finished my role as chair of that last July. And then after I finished that, the new chair, Wayne Dimmick, he came in and he said, I have an idea for 9/11 next year. He said, I would like us to do a community-wide day of service on 9/11. And he asked me if I would help organize it. So I said yes. And the first thing I realized is we needed more help than just CCC. So I partner with two other nonprofit organizations, the United Way and Just Serve. And the three of us groups have put together a committee, and we've had dozens of people volunteering to help with our committee to organize a day of service on 9/11 this year. It's a unique anniversary this year. It's the 25th anniversary of 9/11, and it's also America 250. And we thought, in order to commemorate both of those, we should do a massive day of service. So our goal is simple: make September 11th the biggest day of service in Cache Valley's history. Those of us who were around on September 11th, I know we've got people graduating from college now who weren't even alive on 9/11, but those of us who were around at that time, we all promised that we would never forget. Yeah, I remember that. That was a significant theme of that time, that we would never forget those people who were lost. And one of the things that our nation did to help us to remember those people who were lost that day is Congress established September 11th as a national day of service. And I remember there was some debate at the time about should we make it a holiday and stay home from work. And instead, we decided, no, we're gonna work more on that day. We're gonna do service. So it's a day of remembrance. It's America's National Day of Service, and as the 25th anniversary, we're keeping that promise to never forget by serving our neighbors. And as I mentioned, it's also part of our America 250 celebration, reminding us that one of America's greatest traditions is neighbors serving neighbors. And our hope is that we can get everybody in our community involved. We want every city, every church, every business, everybody to be involved. We've been working with schools. We've been working with our different nonprofit organizations and service clubs. And what we're asking everyone to do is to find some way that they can serve and get involved and do a service project. We have a website, and on our website we have information about some projects that we have already identified. CacheValleyDayOfService.com, people can see service projects that we've already identified. But what we're asking people to do, ideally, they just find something they can do themselves. They can do self-directed service. What we would love for some people to, or for people to do, and we've had some people do this already, is find something in your community, in your town, in your neighborhood, maybe at your school, in your city, maybe your park or a trail or a river or a roadside near you, and just go out and take care of it. And we've had some communities and some groups already doing that throughout the year. There's one actually just right down the street from the station here. There's a church that decided not only to do service on September 11th, but to do service throughout the summer. And they've done multiple service projects already, including cleaning up trails and waterways and fixing benches and planting trees and so many different things. So that's what we would love people to do, is to find a way to serve and just go out and do it. If people aren't aware of a way they can serve, they can go to our website. We have dozens of service projects that we've identified that are on the website on CacheValleyDayOfService.com, and they can get involved with one of those. Or if they are aware of a project that needs to be done and maybe they're not able to take care of it themselves, they can add that project to the list. And we're asking schools and cities and nonprofits to go on and add projects that they can that they would like to have done. They can go on to the website. They can add the project. Maybe it's a nonprofit and they need some painting done, or maybe it's a city and they need some work in a park. They can go on there, they can add their project, and then volunteers can come on and find it. So as I mentioned, we've already identified dozens of those projects, and those projects will require over 1,000 volunteers, maybe thousands of volunteers to accomplish them. And we hope to add more. We are actively adding more projects and more volunteers. And what we hope is on this day, the success that we're looking for isn't just completing these projects, but success is building stronger relationships between neighbors, organizations, communities. We want to use this as an opportunity to bring our community together. As I think back about 9/11, one of the things that made the strongest impression on me was what happened the day after 9/11. And I remember how people came together. I remember how they cared for one another, how people were helping strangers, people were donating blood, people were donating items, people were reconciling. It was different than it was the day before in a really good way, and people were reaching out and helping one another. And that's the spirit that we want to revive and remember and remind ourselves of on September 11th this year. And then the day after September 11th, we are doing a commemoration ceremony. So on September 12th, which will be a Saturday, we're doing a commemoration ceremony at Willow Park in Logan, and that'll be at 11 a.m. And we are planning to do this as kind of a thank you to everybody who volunteered and got involved on September 11th. But the entire community is invited, whether or not they're able to perform service on 9/11, we'd love to have them come out. And 9/11 this year is on a Friday. We know some people might be in school or work, and if they need to perform their service on the 12th, on Saturday the 12th, that's fantastic. Or, as I mentioned earlier, any time between now and then would be great too. So on September 12th, we'll have this event at Willow Park in Logan at 11 a.m. We'll have the presentation of colors by the Civil Air Patrol. We'll have interfaith prayers. We'll have some remarks by veterans. We will do some reflections on the service projects and tell some stories about the service that was performed. We're going to have live patriotic music by the Bridgeland Brass Band. And then the best part, free food. We'll have hot dogs and tamales, watermelon, ice cream, drinks. All of those foods were provided by generous local donors. And in addition to that, we'll have some booths with different nonprofits being represented there, providing information. So we're looking forward to the day of service on 9/11. We're looking forward also to our commemoration ceremony on September 12th, on Saturday, the following day. And I'd just like to encourage people to go to CacheValleyDayOfService.com and find a project they can volunteer for, or add a project that they need help with.
All right, that's all sounds great. Tell me again how the website again?
CacheValleyDayOfService.com.
CacheValleyDayOfService.com. That's wonderful. David Zook urging us to serve here leading up to 9/11. 9/12, I guess, is when the big culmination will be. Wonderful. Anything you'd like to add, Amy?
Just a shout out too, because the Cache Community Connections, which is one of the founding organizations for this project, came about because of September 11th, as our Cache Valley community was concerned about the potential backlash against people who were primarily of Muslim faith. And so it brought together the civic leaders along with the religious leaders across our community, and they continue to work. If you've gone to any of the Noon Tabernacle concerts during the summer, that's part of Cache Community Connections, as part of their ongoing mission to continue to link people in the community, provide opportunities for people to interact and learn that we are all just human.
Well, wonderful. Tell us once again the website.
CacheValleyDayOfService.com.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Well, thanks so much, David, for telling us about this.
Thanks, Tom and Amy. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, wonderful. We're doing a nonprofit spotlight to reset the scene, and let's go to our next guest here, J.J. Alvarez, who joins us on Zoom. J.J., tell us about what you want to spotlight.
Yeah. So my name is J.J. I'm the Events and Volunteer Coordinator with Habitat for Humanity of Northern Utah. And so we serve communities in Box Elder and Weber County. And our mission is seeking to put God's love into action. Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. And so we do that through three of our programs. We have our homeowner program, which in which our organization partners with families who do not already own homes to help them achieve home ownership through sweat equity and affordable mortgage. But we also have a critical home repair program that's really been taking off, where our organization partners with families who already own a home, and we help them maintain them, do critical repairs to help them keep their homes safe, decent, affordable. But we also have a Restore in Ogden, and our Restore helps provide by selling home improvement goods for our community. It keeps items out of landfill, and it helps support our program. So that is what we're doing, and we're working with low-income families in Box Elder and Weber counties.
Okay, wonderful. So what do you especially need? Volunteers, money, I guess all of the above?
Yes, like nonprofits, we love those things. I would say right now, one of the biggest ways that people can help us out is by supporting our Restore, but also helping with some of our projects. To be specific, we have committees. Those are like kind of like focus groups at our nonprofit. We have like a construction committee, which helps advise and get things done for our construction projects that we're working on. We have a community outreach committee, which helps oversee some of our different outreach efforts, connect with our communities and what have you. So that's one thing, as well as we're always looking for people to serve on our board right now. So yeah, really, whatever it is, whatever skills that you bring to the table, we would love to figure out how we can put you to work and help you utilize those skills and talents.
What's the best contact point for people?
Yeah. So you can contact us by going to our website, which is habitatnorthernutah.org. But you can also call our office, and our phone number is on our website.
So I think one of the reasons this is so important, JJ, is right now 1 in 9 Utah families are spending at least 50% of their income on their housing. And I think we all are kind of recognized probably from class when we were in high school that 30% is kind of the most that you hope to be spending on your housing costs. So, you know, for many of the people you serve, this is such a priority because it puts them in housing that is more affordable for them. And, you know, Tom, I'm sure you've talked with people on your show about just the lack of affordable housing throughout northern Utah. So organizations like Habitat are so critical to helping the people that they can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real problem. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Amy made a great point. And that is actually one thing that's so great about our homeowner program is we make sure that our mortgages are no more than 30% of their income. So that is definitely something that we think about and try and build in as part of our programs. And so one of the things that's just so great about our homeowner program specifically is it is building community, is bringing people together, and you have outcomes like increased civic engagement, higher test scores, on top of, you know, the given things like this providing great economic mobility for families and a starting point for legacy and just being a really great avenue to build stability and security for these families that we're partnering with.
Once again, tell us the contact point.
We are habitatnorthernutah.org.
All right, wonderful. We've been talking with JJ Alvarez with Habitat for Humanity. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. We're going to head toward a break. Following the break, we'll be talking with Callie Billings, who's on with us on Zoom here. Other nonprofits throughout the hour we have with us. Amy Anderson's always through the hour. Before we go to break, Amy, anything you'd like to spotlight?
Oh, I'd love to. So as you mentioned, I work with Boulder Way Forward, which is a project through USU Extension with the Utah Women in Leadership Project. And our mission is to help lift girls, women, and families across the state. So if people are interested in a specific area, we have 18 different areas of focus where we see that there's a need to help move the needle in those spaces, and have created resource libraries for a variety of those different topics. So if people are looking for ways that they can help or to understand a problem, to go to the Utah Women in Leadership website, which is usu.edu/UWLP, they can find those resource libraries with topics such as aging and body image, domestic violence, women's leadership development, encouraging STEM education, particularly amongst young women, issues of poverty and homelessness. So it's a great location to go either become more educated, but also to find out what resources exist across our state, not just here in Cache County. But I encourage people, a bolder way forward for Utah to help lift girls, women's, and families.
All right. At bolderwayforward.org, is it? Or?
It's actually under usu.edu,
USU. Okay.
UWLP for the Utah Women in Leadership Project.
Very good. Very good. A Bolder Way Forward. Yeah, it's great. Great things going on there.
Yep.
Thank you. I'll just mention before we go to break, American Red Cross, redcross.org. Right up front here, there's a blood crisis. Situation is dire. Type O blood donors needed now. So you can make an appointment to give blood. You can also give money and help in various other ways. Red Cross does a lot of good.
They certainly do. I wish I could donate blood, but I am one of those people that faints. So,
oh, you do? Yeah.
I serve in other ways, Tom.
Good, good. Yeah. So volunteers needed. It's, you know, it says so. Give money, volunteer, or give blood, or all three, I suppose. American Red Cross, redcross.org, redcross.org for that one. Let's take a break. We'll come back with much more on our nonprofit spotlight for today. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We're doing a nonprofit spotlight today. We do this about quarterly. We just want to shine a light on your organization or maybe an individual doing good in your community. So Amy Anderson, Regional Coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, is joining us. And throughout the hour, we have representatives from nonprofits. And we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us right now at upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. And we bring in next Callie Billings. Callie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I'm happy to talk a little bit about American Indian Services. I feel like we do some great work.
Okay, American Indian Services, tell us about it.
So we are a nonprofit organization that provides scholarship and educational programs for Native Americans who are pursuing higher education, whether that be a traditional university path or a trade or vocational program.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe expand on that, some of the services that you provide. Along with that, what needs do you have? How can we help? So first of all, the services.
So we do provide just traditional college scholarships to students. We are a national organization, so across the country. And we have been around for 45 years. We're based in Utah, but like I said, we do serve any students who are enrolled in a federally recognized tribe within the United States and are attending an accredited university or vocational program. We also have the PREP program. So that is for STEM instruction for Native American youth who are in middle school typically, and they are able to experience different classes, different kinds of they're often from the reservation. So they, for example, this last year came to University of Utah and UVU, and they were able to do some STEM testing out at Utah Lake. Sometimes they get to go to a jazz game, just able to expand their experiences a little bit. And I'm over the Trade Scholarship Program. I'm the Trade Scholarship Director. And we fund students who are doing technical trade and vocational programs, so that whether that be cosmetology school, whether they're wanting to be an electrician, it could be wide range of various programs.
How do students find out about the services that you provide, Callie?
So it depends program to program. Our scholarship program is a little bit more well known, just the traditional university one. That one is quite a bit bigger. And the trade program and prep programs are a little bit newer. So we're working to expand visibility and our funding as well, so that we're able to support more students within those programs.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm reading on your website, AmericanIndianServices.org. Is that the right place here?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, great. So AIS Prep, I guess the 3 summers of STEM instruction is another program that you guys have.
True.
Wonderful. So tell us how the various ways that we can help support this great service.
Well, we do have various fundraisers throughout the year. You could also donate at our website if you'd like to support our cause. But our next event that we have is called the Mock Walk. It's a moccasin walk, and it's on Indigenous Peoples Day. I believe it's October 10th. And we do a walk, and we fundraise for students and all of our programs. So you're encouraged to wear moccasins if you have them. If not, it's like a 5K walk that we do at a park in Lehigh in the area.
Yeah, do you know where the location is going to be this year? I know last year you were down in Bluffdale. Is it going to be down there as well this year, or is it going to be closer to?
Oh, I believe so. Here, let me pull that up so we have that. Yes, it is at Wardle Fields Regional Park on October 12th.
All right. I see a donate button here on AmericanIndianServices.org, so you wouldn't turn away money, I guess.
Definitely not. No.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So, Callie, how did you get involved with American Indian Services?
I actually was a vendor at a powwow, and I had a great chance to speak with a person who works here. Her name's Tishna Campbell. She's over the educational programs where she supports entrepreneurial programs. And she just told me that there was a job opening and that she thought I might be a great fit. And she told me a little bit about AIS and what they do. And I was really impressed by the broad scope of students that they help. Not very many, a lot of scholarship organizations are tribal based. So I was impressed that they do serve over 300 federally recognized tribes, and was excited to get involved.
All right. Well, thank you so much. AmericanIndianServices.org, AmericanIndianServices.org to check out the great good that they do. Callie Billings, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Amy, any other nonprofits you'd like to spotlight here?
So there's one that is personally important to me, and I've talked about this in the show in the past, is the Alzheimer's Association. For those of you who know me and my story, my mother passed away from Alzheimer's disease, 15 years ago now. And every year across the country, there are the annual Walk to End Alzheimer's. And there's several locations throughout our state: Cedar City, Clearfield, Park City, Provo, Sandy, St. George, and then Logan. So if you know someone, this is such a disability for the individual as well as for the family, as somebody loses their cognitive ability and kind of you lose that person before your eyes over a period of usually 7 to 10 years. There's been more and more research into Alzheimer's disease and exciting potentials for either preventing or helping to stymie the ongoing advancement for the disease. And the Walk to End Alzheimer's is one of the largest fundraising opportunities that they have. So I encourage you to go to alz.org and see if there's a walk in your area. There's also ways that you can fundraise individually if you can't show up for one of those. But usually just a great opportunity to individuals, for families, for people to see how individuals are coping with Alzheimer's disease themselves. But again, it's got an organization that has a warm spot in my heart. They also offer services throughout the year, too, for individuals with some virtual support groups and other information just on how to cope with a loved one who has Alzheimer's disease.
Hmm. So where to go? What's a good contact point?
ALZ.org mm-hmm. is the national site, and you can search for the walk that's the closest to you. But again, also has that wonderful resource library for individuals and how they can help learn even some prevention techniques, you know, staying healthy yourself. They say healthy heart, healthy brain. So just things that you can do yourself, too, to make sure that you're keeping yourself, lowering your risk for Alzheimer's disease.
That's great. I've talked to several caregivers who've really appreciated some services, some groups, right? You can go and talk to other caregivers.
Yeah, actually, my former employer, Sunshine Terrace, holds a caregiver support group every Wednesday at 3:30. They hold that in their outpatient therapy building, which is called The Works. It's free to everybody. Anybody who's caregiving is welcome at that, whether it's you're caring for someone with Alzheimer's or just with some other chronic disease. But yeah, it's a place where caregivers can go, talk about what is happening in their lives, and learn tools and resources for helping to manage the stress and hopefully find a way to keep themselves healthy, too.
Yeah. So Sunshine Terrace Foundation for that one.
Sunshine Terrace Foundation, yep. So sunshineterrace.org is where you can learn more about the caregiver support that's held on Wednesdays.
Okay. Well, let's bring in Mercedes Morgan, who joins us via Zoom. Tell us about the nonprofit you want to spotlight.
Yes, I would love to spotlight USARA, which is Utah Support Advocates for Recovery Awareness. And I am actually in their Carbon County location. So I am the program manager for our local nonprofit recovery center for both Carbon and Emory County.
All right. So you're there in Price or somewhere, I guess? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Price is kind of the hub point, but we're very spread out in rural Utah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit more about your services.
Yeah, absolutely. At USARA, our mission is to connect and inspire communities to advocate for addiction are recognized as the most valuable assets for people to recover from addiction. And we are a grassroots organization. We are a peer-led organization, so we are non-clinical. We are all trained and certified through the state. We are people in long-term recovery who are bringing our mess and using it as our message today to help others that are seeking recovery.
So I'm seeing UtahRecovers.org. So that's a good,
yes,
good place to
UtahRecovers.org go. UtahRecovers.org is our website. We also have a branch off because September is recovery month. So we have recoveryday.org as well, to highlight recovery month throughout the year. We've got a lot of really great events taking place throughout the state in our area. September 4th, we have our Price Recovery Day. And the main thing that USARA provides is our one-on-one evidence-based recovery support services. We do one-on-one coaching where we're able to help people break down barriers, connect them to resources, do goal setting. But this opportunity in September, we really try to just pull all of our community resources together and connect people with whatever it is that they're in need of.
So how best can people help?
So people can help right now, yesterday, preferably. We would love any and all support, whether that be volunteer opportunities, referring someone that you know that may need some services, some support. Because we're non-clinical, we're able to provide all of our services free of charge. So we've tried to really remove that red tape. If someone is over the age of 18 and they're struggling with substance use disorder, they can reach out and connect with a coach same day, and they can get a hold of us through our office phone, through our website. We've got our work cell phone posted on our website. So we've tried to make it really easily accessible for folks because, again, we're people in recovery, and we know that we've got a short window when people are ready to ask for help. We need to be able to meet them when they're ready.
Okay.
So when I was looking at your website earlier, I noticed that you have programs for families, which I think is a unique piece of it. Can you talk a little bit about the family support that you offer? And I think some of that's available not only in person, but also online.
Yes, we have some virtual options. That's one good thing COVID gave us. And we've got our CRAFT program, which another acronym, Community Reinforcement and Family Training. And that is an evidence-based curriculum. And they do meet virtually for our area because we're very rural. But you meet with coaches, you meet with the mutual aid support group, and you're able to find different ways to connect with your loved one, to communicate, to set boundaries, and to really heal as a whole cohesive unit and not just one person in the family.
Yeah, that's great.
I think we often think when someone has a problem, it's just their problem, but it is a family's problem, and it is a community problem as well. So I appreciate the work that you all are doing across the state. For your recovery days, can you talk a little bit about what actually happens at that for individuals?
Yes, thank you for asking, because this is my favorite event. We put on a really amazing resource fair, and we pull resources from all over the state, not just our area. And we provide a community event that's free to everybody to come and be a part of. We provide dinner. We will have kids' activities, face painting. We, in previous years, have had a dunk tank with law enforcement officers. So we're hoping to do that again this year. And our big thing is we are giving away a car. And this is the fifth year that we are going to be able to give away a car to someone in recovery in need. Thank you to JN Auto, one of our local dealerships. But really just trying to get creative and bridging some of the barriers that people face in our area. So it's going to be really amazing. It is a family-friendly event. We'll have kids' activities, resource fair, giveaway, giving away a car, free dinner. But if you are a person in recovery, or you know someone in recovery, or you support someone in recovery, I really encourage you to come and check out this event September 4th, right at Price Peace Gardens on Main Street. It's going to be amazing, and it starts at 3 p.m. So if you're available, please swing by.
All right. Well, thanks for all the good work you're doing. UtahRecovers.org. UtahRecovers.org is the place to check them out. And we have been talking with Mercedes Morgan, who is with you, Sarah. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Well, Amy, before we go to another break, anything else you'd like to spotlight here?
So there's organizations across the state that are comprised of women, and Cache Valley is one of those. It's an organization called 100 Women Who Care in Cache Valley. And it's a group that gets together quarterly and invites area nonprofits to come and do a presentation on the services that they offer. And then each one of those women has agreed to contribute $100 at each of those times to the organization that they select. So after the presentations, the individuals who are there vote on which one they choose to sponsor for that quarter. And then the following quarter, they come back and explain what they've done with their funding. So for those who are fortunate enough to be able to afford that ability to donate, this is a really great way to get involved. You learn about local organizations that are doing good in their community. And it also, because it's compiled gifts, it gives especially smaller organizations a larger chunk. So perhaps if they have a project that needs some attention or some money, they have that happen. So if you're interested in learning more about that, it's literally, it's 100, the digits, 100, womenwhocarecachevalley.com. Sorry, that's a pretty long URL. But again, they meet quarterly. You can go there and register. You'll get the information. You, as a member of that group, then too have an opportunity to nominate groups to come in. But again, 100 womenwhocarecachevalley.com. They just had their meeting this past month and chose a new refugee organization here in Cache Valley. It was the recipient that's helping women and families once they've been settled for a year but still need that ongoing support that they may no longer be getting, to link them with other individuals to help them find ways to help support them in the community. So this past month, they did a project where women wanted to learn how to sew. So they pulled together women who had sewing machines that weren't being utilized and put them in at a church, and were able to do that. So those funds will continue to help that, those services.
All right. Tell us again the website.
It's 100womenwhocarecachevalley.com. So,
all right.
And I believe you actually do have to be a woman, so I'm sorry. Okay. This might be one of those organizations.
I won't be able to join.
You won't be able to join, Tom. Right. Sorry. But maybe other women you know you could tell about.
I could encourage them to join. Just before we go to a break, I'll give a shout out in behalf of Hillary Shugart. I didn't hear from her this time around, but she's so faithful. I will plug Bridgerland Audubon, Bridgerlandaudubon.org. So Bridgerland, AUDUBON.org. They have all kinds of activities. Birding with Bridgerland is a regular activity. Summer Citizens Birding Series, if you're in the Cache Valley area. Summer Outdoor Adventure. They just have a whole series of things you could do. They do a lot of good public service as well, and you can donate to them. So BridgerlandAudubon.org, BridgerlandAudubon.org.
Thanks for that, Tom. Yeah, I missed that we heard from her this year.
Yeah, she usually does, and I'm sure she intended to. So let's do another break. We'll be back with some more nonprofits to spotlight. You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. I'm joined today by Amy Anderson, who's regional coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, plugged into the nonprofit community. We're doing a nonprofit spotlight. Love to hear from you about your favorite nonprofit you'd like to plug. You can get that information to us at upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. So we go next to Anne-Marie Wallace. And welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So what do you like to want to spotlight right now?
So I'm going to spotlight the Women in Business program that is part of the Cache Valley Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, wonderful. Tell us what you do, what services you offer.
The Cache Valley Chamber, of course, represents business in our community, and they have a program, Women in Business, which has the purpose of helping women here in our valley learn, lead, and thrive. We do that through monthly workshops, fundraising, and scholarships. And I'd love to tell you more about some of our fundraising we're doing this summer.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Great. Well, one of the ways we raise money for scholarships, and the scholarships are meant for women, especially non-traditional students, women going back to school after having a family. We award those scholarships to BTEC and Utah State University, and we just barely launched our professional development scholarships as well for attendees. And one way we raise scholarship funds is through a jewelry sale that we have in the fall at the Business Women's Conference hosted by the Cache Valley Chamber. And right now, we're in the middle of our jewelry donation drive. So this is our way of helping those in the community to share their sparkle. That can say it that way. I'm happy to share a little bit more as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Great. Okay, so the jewelry sale, like I mentioned, is within a conference at the Riverwoods Conference Center in the fall, October 28th. And right now we are gathering jewelry that is lightly loved, as I like to say. We're calling it Share Your Sparkle. And we are receiving those donations now through the end of the month until August 31st. 100% of the proceeds used, you know, to sell and earn money from the jewelry sale based on the donated items is 100% proceeds that go directly to the scholarship for local women.
All right. Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
So where can people drop their jewelry?
Great. Well, we have 7 locations around the valley, and the Cache Valley Chamber is probably the easiest one to get to. I can share the others as soon as I have them pulled up. There's a couple things I want to share before I do that. So basically, many of us have beautiful jewelry that we no longer wear. Instead of letting it sit in the drawer, we would ask them to help that jewelry actually help a woman pursue her education. And basically, donations are a long-lasting impact that are not just for you and the person there, but also helping women to, you know, gain more education. It's, of course, meant to help women here in our valley. So it is actually very, very much local. So some of the places you can drop off jewelry, the donations would be Anderson Seed and Feed, Anderson Seed and Garden, excuse me. So that's one location. And then the Art Center downtown is another location. Le Croissant, the restaurant, which is woman-owned, I'd like to mention. That is also downtown on Federal Avenue. There are a few other locations, but they're all available and can be seen, the full list, on our social media as well.
What's a good contact point if people want to learn more?
Great. They're welcome to reach out to the Cache Valley Chamber downtown. They will absolutely know where, and they also have a donation box there inside of their offices. I do have an example if you would like me to share,
Yes.
of a woman who received a scholarship to BTEC, and that's Erica Stone. She's a great example of a woman that these scholarships have supported. We award scholarships in May, so we're doing a lot of work between the May and the following May. And she was balancing a full-time job while pursuing advanced skills in data analytics at BTEC, which we're so proud of the women who choose to do STEM work and STEM education. And she's working on and toward a future career in high demand fields such as data analytics. And one way we can help her is to offset the cost of her tuition.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. So you
Yeah.
taking jewelry donations? You could probably take money as well, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, if companies are interested, they can actually donate a full scholarship and have it be in their company name.
So, Anne Marie, one of the things I really appreciate about this is, more and more young women are enrolling in college, but Utah still has a relatively low completion rate for some of those women who enroll. And so this idea of kind of that return to school and the opportunities for women to gain a scholarship later in their life, I think is really
Yes.
important. So thanks for all the good work you're doing in this space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can share some examples of some of the donations that we receive and are open to. Of course, that includes necklaces, bracelets, earrings, rings, as well as watches and pins and even fashion accessories. And the actual jewelry sale itself is really fun as well because you feel like you've got a whole new a set of jewelry. It's just before the holidays, so you can also get them as jewelry gifts for your family and your friends.
All right, and I'm informed I hadn't noticed this, maybe because of my gender. We have a donation box for jewelry here at Utah Public Radio.
Yes,
I'll
at
have to go check
UPR.
that out,
Yes,
and
we do have a
maybe look for
location
some
right
jewelry
there.
I can donate. Yeah.
I love that Tom is
Yes.
learning new things himself
Yes.
this morning.
Yes.
Absolutely, right there with you.
Very good. Wonderful. So one more time, good contact point.
The Cache Valley Chamber, they're at 173. Oh my gosh, did I say 173? Hold on, make sure I got the right address. Cache Valley Chamber. They did move recently. Valley Chamber. Yes, they're at 73 North Main. They're in Logan, across from the Tabernacle. There is a box there waiting for your donations, as well as UPR and others.
Okay, wonderful. So just go to cashchamber.com, I guess, to check out Women in Business. Yeah. All
Absolutely.
right. Anne Marie Wallace has been with us talking about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We just have about a minute left. Any quick plug you'd want to fit in here, Amy?
Gosh, yeah, there's so many organizations that help. One, there was a novel or a book that came out about an unfortunate incident here in our valley around sexual abuse. So Generation All is a nonprofit that's been working on helping to address the needs of survivors of sexual assault. So I'd encourage you to go to their website. It's generationall.org. They do have a portal that people can join. That's a place where you can help identify a path forward from trauma, specifically sexual violence. So they've got it's got education, it's got tools, it's got all the support that people need while they let go of what they've been carrying for their life. So just encourage you to think about that. If there's someone you know who has that trauma in their past, this is a place that they can go to continue that healing journey.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And thanks to everyone who's appeared on the program and shared, shone a spotlight on your favorite nonprofit. We appreciate you joining us for the Nonprofit Spotlight. Thanks, Amy Anderson, for coming in, Regional Coordinator for Boulder Way Forward. Thanks.
You're welcome, Tom. Always a pleasure.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Access Utah.